Well, Merry Christmas. Boy, it's been a great time together already. You know what this is, right? It's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Yeah, it takes us back to that 1965 classic Peanuts Christmas cartoon. And probably you remember this storyline, but if you hang on with me till the very end, I'm going to point out a couple of things that maybe didn't capture your attention the umpteen times that you've watched it. But let's remind ourselves of the storyline here for just a moment. You remember that Charlie Brown starts out very disappointed about Christmas. He goes to the mailbox, discovers there aren't any Christmas cards for him. And then from there, it's on to Lucy, psychiatric help desk. And she encourages him to get in the Christmas spirit by directing the school play. And so en route to the play, he is further disillusioned by Snoopy. Snoopy thinks that Christmas is all about winning this decorating contest, and so he's got his doghouse all decked out. From there, he encounters Sally. Sally wants him to write out a Christmas letter to Santa. You remember it. She's pretty specific on sizes and colors, but she's willing to settle for 10s and 20s. And then from there, he finally arrives at the school auditorium, only to discover that total mayhem has broken out. No one is listening to his instructions as the director of the school play. And so in total discouragement, he wanders off to the Christmas tree lot. He's going to pick out the special tree for Christmas, for the play, that is. And well, he looks at some of the newfangled aluminum versions, and he decides on, well, one that looks something like this. It's a pretty homely one. And he takes it back to the school auditorium. All of the other kids make fun of him and make fun of his tree. Finally, he sets it down, and in total frustration, he lifts his voice and his arms, and he says, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" You know, that question of 50 years ago is worth us answering really every year, even today in 2017. What is Christmas all about? Well, probably in our heart of hearts, we know the answer, and yet in our daily lives, maybe it reflects something else. For some of us, maybe it is about the cards. Well, it isn't necessarily how high the stack of cards is that we received, but it might be all about the one that you didn't get. The one that you were hoping for, that estranged relationship, or maybe that wishful relationship. And so in disappointment, you're entering into another Christmas season. Or maybe you've made it all about the decorations, kind of like Snoopy. And you went all out with the lights and the glitz and the glitter, but the reality is in a few short days, or maybe you're one of those people that keeps Christmas up forever, maybe in a few short weeks, you'll be pulling out the totes and the boxes and the bags and kind of putting Christmas away once again. Or maybe for you, it's been all about the gifts, and you went out on a Black Friday and you bought the special gift for that certain someone, and some of us already have plans of what we're going to do with the money and with the gift cards, and on Tuesday we're going to hit the stores and we're going to get exactly the size and the color that we wanted of that certain item. Yeah, we can make it all about all kinds of things, but probably for most of us, the one thing that's still looming out there at this stage in the game is the family gathering. And you've put all of your expectations into that. Your hopes are high. It's going to be the perfect gathering with just the right meal, and you're going to enjoy time together. Of course, you're going to capture it with your phone, and you're going to send it onto social media so it looks like you have the perfect Hallmark family, right? But all of us know in reality that behind those smiling faces, every one of us has his or her own little frustrations and anxieties and concerns and maybe even family tensions. So with expectations high, we enter into Christmas perhaps only to discover disappointment. And so it's important for us once again to answer that age-old question, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Now, lest you think you know exactly where we're headed, or lest you think that maybe I'm going to be preaching against the evils of Christmas cards and gifts and family gatherings and decoration. By the way, I'm not. My family enjoys those as much as you. Lest you think that and you're tempted to kind of tune me out the way you would Charlie Brown's teacher. you know, the monotone, meaningless sound in the background. Well, let me assure you, I'm not going to be taking a look at those. Instead, I'd like for us together to discover once again, what is Christmas all about? And let me give you the bottom line here at the very beginning. The bottom line, the thing that I hope that you'll take away from our time is this. Christmas isn't about you. Now, maybe that comes as a surprise, but it's definitely for you. Not about you, but it's for you. You know, our minds go back to Linus as he stood and he said, "Lights, please." And then he begins to read in Luke chapter 2, and he takes us on that journey of those biblical historical facts of how the census was given, a journey to Bethlehem, and how there was no room at the inn, and a manger and a baby was born and laid in the manger, and angels appeared to the shepherds and announced the message. You know, Christmas is all about that babe in a manger. Christmas is about Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. And maybe in our heart of hearts, we know the "it's not about me" part of that statement that we just made. But what about the "for you" part? That's where John's gospel helps us out. John describes Christ coming into the world as the Word becoming flesh and entering in and becoming one of us. Jesus Christ taking on human flesh and entering into the life and the world where you and I live. But John's gospel also points this out in verses 4 and 5. John, in describing Jesus, says this, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, Christmas isn't about you, it's about Christ, but it's for you. And here we see two key words that remind us of what Christ's entrance into the world does for us, offers to us. The first of those is this: Christ gives light for you. In fact, if we drop down into verse 9, we discover here that he's the true light that gives light to everyone. He's the true source of hope, the true source of truth. He's this blazing flesh and blood example of purity and uprightness and perfection. And he entered into the world. And as that light, he attracts our attention. We know that, don't we? At least when we set up our nativity sets. We have everybody kind of facing Jesus. You know, there's the manger with the baby in it, and Mary and Joseph are there. And then we make sure when we set it up that the shepherds are also there facing Jesus, and the magi with their gifts are there facing Jesus, maybe even kneeling before him. And some of us will even make sure that the cow and the sheep are facing Jesus. Some of you have toddlers in your family. Have you ever found G.I. Joe or a Lego figure in the nativity facing Jesus? Yeah, he's this light that attracts our attention, but that's not the only purpose of light. Light also has a way of exposing darkness, and we read that there in verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness. And you know, there's something about each one of us probably. There are those aspects of our lives that we would prefer to kind of keep concealed in darkness, those things that we're not all that proud of, those thoughts that we think sometimes, those words that we say, sometimes the impatient actions that we demonstrate while driving or who knows what. And yet what we're told here is that Christ's entrance into the world exposes that. He's the light that exposes those aspects of us. You know, that sounds painful, and yet we have to keep in mind as well that light serves another purpose. Light also lights the way through a darkened room so that we can travel without injury and without running into something. So you see, Christ brings light for us. He's this light that attracts our attention, that exposes the weaknesses and the sin in our lives. And yet he also points the way. And that brings us to the second word here, that Christ also brings life for you. We saw that there in verse 4 as well, that he is the one who, as life, entered into this world. Life is a recurring theme throughout the Gospel of John. We find it in John chapter 3, you know, one of the most familiar verses of all the scriptures, that those who believe in him inherit eternal life. Or we read about it in John chapter 11, where Jesus encounters a family that has lost their loved one, lost Lazarus. He's died, and yet Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You see, Jesus offers hope in the face of death that takes us into eternal life. In John chapter 10, he says that he came to offer us abundant life. In John chapter 14, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. You see, Jesus offers us light and life, life that is eternal, life that's even in the face of death, life that is abundant, life that brings us back to our Heavenly Father in spite of the separation created by our sin. You know, Jesus ultimately offers to us this life that we don't deserve, but we desperately need. I'm guessing that probably, speaking of needs, I'm guessing that you probably didn't have any of your desperate needs on your Christmas wish list, did you? Most of us don't write down because it's provided for us. We don't write down, bread, milk, and eggs. Was that on anyone's Christmas list? Probably not. Christmas time, we typically don't think of our needs because we, by and large, live in affluence. We have our needs met, and we don't even think about those. But there's one desperate need that isn't met. That reminds me, about 6 weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in Cameroon, Africa. And there I had the privilege of teaching 22 seminary students, Bible Institute students, who are being trained to become pastors there in Africa. Boy, it's different there. They don't have the luxuries of life that we have here. In fact, many of those men are in school or in the Bible Institute when I was there with me for 4 hours a day. But they had worked all night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and they had worked as night guards, and they do that 6 days a week, and in a month they'll earn about $150, $3 a day. You see, these are people that are thinking about needs. They aren't thinking about gadgetry and another thing to add to our wardrobe. They're thinking about the essentials of life. And so about once a month, what we have the privilege of participating in as a church is our giving helps to provide beans and rice, just a few kilos of each, for the ladies in each of those families. You see, that's about essential needs. Well, Jesus didn't come offering beans and rice, though he did feed thousands at times. He came to meet our most desperate need. That's beyond sleep and food and nourishment and all that kind of stuff. And that's the need for spiritual life. It's the need for reconnection with him in spite of those dark areas of our lives. Christ came to offer just that. He came as light and life. And that's depicted for us especially in verse 13 of John chapter 1. Here it says that he gives to us, he gave the right to become children of God. He brings us to life and adopts us into his family. He gives us a new identity, enters us into a new family life. Though all of us, I hope that you'll part of your Christmas celebration will be some kind of family gathering. We have the privilege, because Christ offers us life, of entering into the very family of God. So Christmas isn't about you, but it sure is for you. Question is, how do you respond to that now? A couple of weeks ago, I read a survey that indicated that the few thousand that were surveyed indicate at least that those of us as Americans still by and large buy into the historical facts of Christmas. The vast majority still believe in the virgin birth. They still believe that Christ was indeed laid in a manger. The vast majority embrace the idea that angels announced to shepherds the birth of Christ. The vast majority of those interviewed said yes, that they believe that that Magi had made the journey bearing gifts to the Christ child. Well, those are the historical realities of Christmas. But let me point out to all of us, and I hope that all of us embrace that. I hope that you're numbered among the majority there. But let me point out to us that the offering of Christ at Christmas goes beyond the historical facts, and it invites from you and me a heart response. So what I'd like to do as we close our time here together, I'd like for you to find that red card that was in your worship program as you entered today. Would you find that? Pull that out. You'll see at the bottom there three key words. I'm thinking that one of these words might be the sort of response that you need to make today. I'd like to do our own version of a survey, not one that's measuring our response to the historical facts, though I hope you embrace all of those, but one that is measuring your heart response. So take a look at those. Open your heart wide as we consider what your response might be. The first of those that I'd like to draw attention to is this one. It's receive. There are those here in my hearing, here in this room right now, who need to receive God's love and forgiveness in Christ. Right now, today, you need to do that. The fact of the matter is that you've been living in darkness, not aware that Christ came to offer to you life, that he offers to you forgiveness because of his death, burial, and resurrection. He's the true light who entered into the world, lived a perfect life, and yet exposed our imperfections. Through his death, he took upon himself those imperfections and offers to us spiritual life. He offers us a new identity and a new family. In fact, it's indicated later on in this passage. We read a portion of it earlier, but the whole thing reads like this. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Did you catch that? Those who believe in him, those who receive him, those who say, yes, Jesus, you came for me. You are my light, my life, my only hope. Those are the ones that get this new identity and enter into this new family. Perhaps today you need to receive him. Here's a second response. Reconnect. You know, it's possible, especially on a Christmas Eve day like this where families are gathered, it's possible that you know you're a follower of Christ, and yet the truth of the matter is somewhere along the line, you kind of took a right turn. You've kind of wandered away from that commitment made days, weeks, months, perhaps years ago. Maybe you've kind of wandered away from the church. You've wandered away from the family of God. Wouldn't it be great if today, Christmas Eve of 2017, you said, you know what, it's time. After all of that time away, it's time for me to reconnect to my roots, reconnect to this commitment to Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd be willing to make that kind of a commitment. With that, might I be so practical as saying, would you commit in reconnecting? Would you commit to being in church 7 weeks, the next 7 Sundays in a row? I realize that there are people from out of state and all of that. I'm not suggesting that you have to travel all the way back here to Grace. And yet some of you are from around here. Why not make it Grace? We launch into a new series next week that's going to be a great place for all of us to engage and get started again fresh in our faith in Christ. Maybe you need to reconnect. Here's the third one. Reflect. Maybe you know you're not a follower of Christ, and the truth of the matter is you're just not there yet. You're not ready to embrace the very things that I've talked about today. Maybe you have some questions that you still need answers for. Well, friend, if you go to questions@worcestergrace.org, you have opportunity to enter some of those in. You can interact with us or catch us at the Connect Room or give a call through the week. We'd love to try to answer some of those questions. You know, you're not alone if you're like that. Verses 10 and 11 point out that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You know, apparently it wasn't the time yet for those folks, and maybe it's not time yet for you. I respect where you're at, and yet I encourage you to not be content with staying there. Think about those three here for just a moment. One of those likely describes you. But before we wrap up our time, let me just point out a couple of things from that Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon. Maybe you remember that it was Linus who answered Charlie Brown's question. You know, Linus typically always has something in tow, doesn't he? It's his blanket. He hardly goes anywhere without it. But as he says, lights please, and he starts reading from Luke chapter 2, and he talks about the census and Bethlehem and the manger and Christ being laid in it, he finally comes to that point where he's talking about the angels. And when he gets to the line where the angels are talking to the shepherds and the angels say, fear not, you have to pay close attention, but all of a sudden, that blanket just kind of drops to the floor. Friend, I want to point out to you that Christ coming into this world, his offer of light and life to us, allows us to drop our insecurities, to be rid of our sin, to get rid of the shame of our past. We can finally be rid of that, even though we're tempted to kind of pick that back up, and our mind circles around that so often. Why not be rid of it today? Why not receive this gift of God through Jesus Christ? By the way, it's interesting to note that what happens with that blanket? Eventually, it's wrapped around that poor little tree. Oh, but there's one final thing about that tree that's worth noting. You probably picked up on this one. You know, the one that Charlie Brown carries into the auditorium looks pretty homely, but by the time they get done and they've got it all doctored up and they're standing around singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I don't know what happened, but it looks pretty full by the end of the story, doesn't it? Friend, let me remind you that maybe you came in kind of like this, not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Fact of the matter is you had some things of your past that you're not all that proud of. Well, part of becoming children of God, part of receiving Christ, begins a process that results in transformation. Yeah, you can lay down your insecurities, your fears, your past, receive Christ, and enter into his family. Won't you do that today? If you haven't already, would you take that red card and would you mark the response that depicts you? Remember, I'm interested in not only knowing about historical facts like I read about a couple of weeks ago, but I want to know, what's your heart response today? Would you do that? Why don't you bow with me as we pray? Perhaps you're still marking your card. I wonder if your response is indeed that one of receiving him. What does it look like to receive him? Well, it can be as simple as saying in sincerity words like these to God. Dear God, thank you for Christmas. God, I know I've blown it and sinned. I know it's separated me from you. But today I receive your forgiveness through Jesus' death for me. I receive your life, and I thank you that you allow me to become part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder, as our eyes are closed and our heads are still bowed, maybe that's a prayer that you've prayed, and you've prayed for the first time in sincerity. You've marked your card, receive. I wonder if you'd be bold enough just to lift your hand so that I can be praying for you personally. I'm not going to call you out. There's someone that today is receiving Jesus Christ for the first time. Would you slip your hand up? Don't have to keep it long. I'd love to know about that so we can be praying for you. Our Father, we're thankful for the gift of light and life found in Jesus Christ. And Father, it's our prayer that you would be blessed as we continue in our worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, not only is there the response of receiving, reconnecting, and reflecting, but there's also that of rejoicing. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here as we close our service is another great opportunity for us to lift our voices and to worship together as our choir leads out.